What's the one word that best describes King Solomon? You're probably thinking the same word I am, wisdom. But Solomon didn't come by wisdom through hard work or diligent study. Solomon knew something very important. We serve God and others best when we understand how dependent we are on wisdom from the Lord. Solomon possessed wisdom only because he humbly sought it from God. Today on The Wisdom Journey, Stephen has a lesson for you called Making a Wish for Wisdom.
Solomon couldn't have had a better beginning to his reign. He had the support of a unified nation. Enemy nations had been subdued. There was incredible prosperity throughout the land. And in addition, and most importantly, Solomon began his reign with a humble spirit and a whole heart following after God. However, as we begin now in 1 Kings chapter 3, we're introduced to a nagging little detail. We're told here in verse 1 that Solomon married the Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter. That created a political alliance. Now, that marriage might have been politically smart, shrewd, but it will prove to be spiritually foolish, as we'll see years later in Solomon's life. But for now, everything is starting exactly as it should. We're told here in verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. Now, over in the parallel passage of 2 Chronicles chapter 1, we're told that the Ark of the Covenant had returned to Jerusalem, but the bronze altar from the tabernacle of Moses was at Gibeon. So Solomon is going to sacrifice to the Lord there at Gibeon until the temple is built in Jerusalem. And the Lord honors Solomon's worship here at Gibeon. And this particular night, in fact, the Lord is going to appear to him in a dream. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, the Lord here simply tells Solomon this, "Ask what I shall give you." Imagine that. In other words, you got one wish, Solomon. What would you like from me? Wow, can you imagine this offer? How would you respond? Well, Solomon's answer reveals tremendous humility, frankly, and gratitude. He says to the Lord here in verse 7, "You have made your servant king in place of David my father, although I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in." See, unlike his brothers Absalom and Adonijah, who, you know, they thought they were ready to be king at any moment, Solomon admits he's the king only because God has made him king. And he also admits he doesn't even know when to come in or go out, when to stand up or sit down. He feels this desperate need for the wisdom of God. So he answers the Lord here in verse 9, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." Solomon's wish here then is that his heart will be filled with wisdom. He's effectively asking God to give him an instinct, an inner instinct for truth. God responds in verse 12, "Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you and none like you shall arise after you." The Lord also goes on and commends Solomon for not asking for what, you know, we might have asked for if we were given one wish from God. Maybe, you know, like a bigger chariot or a nicer boss. And with that, Solomon awakens from his dream and he returns to Jerusalem and to his new role as king. Now, at this point, the Bible gives us an amazing illustration that God truly answered Solomon's request for wisdom. Beginning here in verse 16, we're told that two prostitutes want to have their case settled in court. Evidently, lower justices have been stumped by this unique case. So now it's brought before King Solomon. This is like the Supreme Court. Now, evidently, these two women were running a brothel together, and each one of them bore a son around the same time. We're told here in verse 19 that one of the prostitutes accidentally lay on her own son one night and smothered him. Then around midnight, That woman realized it, exchanged her dead baby for the living one of her co-worker. But the prostitute tells Solomon now that the next morning she realizes that, you know, this dead child next to her wasn't her son. So both women now are claiming the living boy as their son. Well, now Solomon can't run DNA tests. There are no cameras and fingerprints aren't available. This case is never going to be solved because the claims of both of these women are believable. So Solomon does the unthinkable here in verse 24. He says this, "Bring me a sword." So a sword was brought before the king. And the king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to the one woman and half to the other woman." Well, one of the women essentially, you know, just sort of shrugs her shoulders and says, "Hey, that sounds fair to me." But the other woman cries out and pleads with Solomon here in verse 26, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means put him to death." Well, Solomon knows right away she's the real mother. Why? Because she's willing to give her baby away in order to save his life. Solomon then orders the court to give the baby boy to her. Man, let me tell you, this was brilliant. In fact, we're told here in verse 28 that all Israel stood in awe of the king because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice. Well, Solomon's wisdom is demonstrated not only in making these individual decisions, but also in appointing wise governing officials. And these individuals now are listed throughout chapter 4. By the time you get over to the end of chapter 4, you have this wonderful statement in verse 25. "Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan even to Beersheba, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, all the days of Solomon." We're told in verse 29 that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure. See, this wisdom is revealed, by the way, by the many songs he composes, his wise sayings, his in-depth scientific skills in observation, his knowledge regarding plants and trees and birds and reptiles. As we study his biography, Solomon loved science. His exploration led him to exalt the Creator. Beloved, the problem with many scientific endeavors today is that they don't ultimately lead you to worship the Creator, Creator God. In fact, they usually attempt to eliminate him by ignoring the obvious. This complex, magnificent, wonderful world that had a brilliant, wonderful Creator. Well, here in chapter 5 of 1 Kings, we're told of Solomon's preparations now for building this magnificent temple for his magnificent God. Now, God has actually designed the temple and passed down the plans through King David to his son Solomon. Solomon enlists the help of Hiram, king of Tyre, to provide cedar and cypress wood, along with skilled carpenters. Next, here in verse 13, Solomon drafts 30,000 men to work in shifts, 1 month out of every 3 months. These Israelite men will work with King Hiram's craftsmen, logging and transporting huge amounts of timber, cutting with precision massive stones for the temple's foundation. More on that later. But listen, at this early stage of his reign, Solomon loves the Lord. He's humble. He's focusing on magnifying the glory of God through creation. He's made it a priority to construct this temple for the glory of God. But above everything else, I want you to know Solomon is off to a great start because he was given one wish. And with that one wish, he wished for wisdom. Now, maybe you're thinking right now, you know, that isn't fair. You know, God hasn't come along to me and given me the same opportunity to receive wisdom. Well, the truth is, he has. The Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." James chapter 1, verse 5. See, the problem isn't that we can't get wisdom. We don't have access to wisdom. The problem is, it isn't always on our wish list. So let's revise our wish list. Let's make wisdom our first and foremost desire. And let's ask God for the wisdom and discernment we need. And do we ever need it to walk with Him today? Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Of all the things you could ask God for, I hope today's lesson motivated you to add wisdom to the top of that list. This was a fitting lesson for Stephen to bring you today. Our ministry is called Wisdom International, and this program is called The Wisdom Journey. We believe that your walk through life will be a wisdom journey if you allow God's Word to form and shape your thoughts. We release a new lesson each weekday, so travel through God's Word with us on this wisdom journey.